Chapter 30. Arthur chewed over what Horatio had said for the rest of the evening, so much so that he chopped a pile of onions so roughly that Chef told him to throw his work in an onion soup and start again, and do it right this time. Grumbling to himself, he did, but he couldn't keep down his spinning thoughts. It was obvious to anyone who had eyes that everyone from Headmaster Freya to the teachers wanted their students to be carded. A carded person was healthier and more productive. He'd heard Freya say that with his own ears. A common card gave just as many health benefits as someone with a higher-ranked card. It didn't mean commons were bad. Anyone in his last village, including him, would have given all the toes on their left foot to have a shot at any card, commons included. And now that Horatio mentioned it, he did realize the adults pushed the idea of becoming a dragon rider with subtle encouragement. Was that a good or bad thing? Arthur didn't know. He tried not to think about the pink dragon's death. It had been awful and violent, and it made him think that not everything in the hive was as sunny as the teachers liked to believe. But he hadn't seen any dragon fights over the last couple of weeks here. There was always activity around the hives. Dragons were constantly coming and going from the hive slopes. He'd seen several almost collisions as different dragons swerved to avoid mid-air crashes, but he'd never seen one snap at another while at the hive. Anyone with brains would know that fighting scourgelings was dangerous work. If vultures like Second and his friends regularly looked for fallen dragon riders, it made sense they'd need new hatchlings to fill out the ranks. It was grim, but aside from the pink's death, not suspicious. Horatio might be his normal crabby self, or he might have a point. That was fine because Arthur wasn't entirely sure he wanted to be a dragon rider, or if it was even possible. Doshi's rider had to wait 5 years for Doshi to hatch, and he was a rare rank. Arthur had a legendary card under his belt. With a shake of his head, he put the problem of dragon riders to the side. Now, what really bothered him was the length of time it took to make a card from shards. As subtly as possible, he reached down to scratch his side. He'd taken to winding a strip of bandages around his middle, then tucking the rare trap card under. That way he kept it close and didn't have to worry about it falling out of his shirt. Over the last few weeks, the bruised spot in his heart had healed over. He didn't even miss the card being there. Much. He needed another card, uncommon if he could get it. That would keep him under the notice of anyone important. Assembling a card piece by piece would take too long. Freya had been wildly optimistic when she'd been selling him on the idea of living at the orphanage. He wasn't willing to wait years. Either he would have to try to sell his rare card for several uncommons, or he was going to get card shards another way. He knew which one he wanted. One good thing about having Horatio as a roommate, and coincidentally the thing that annoyed him the most now, was that the other boy didn't snore, so Arthur couldn't reliably tell when he had fallen asleep. Arthur stayed as still as he could while in bed, listening to the dark, quiet room around him. Lights out had been over an hour ago, and Horatio's breathing was deep and even. Or was he pretending? Why would he be pretending? Arthur scolded himself. The other boy never paid attention to him, and had in fact ignored Arthur as usual when they walked home from the restaurant together. He was overthinking, and the night was passing him by. City noise drifted in from the window. It called to him. Slowly, Arthur pushed his blankets down and slid out of bed. He'd gone to bed in his clothing, and so only had to lace up his boots. Using his stealth skill, he crept to the window. It was the type that swung outward, and he had checked the hinges earlier to make sure they didn't squeak. Leaning out, he reached for the drainage pipe. Climbing down was a lot harder than he thought it would be. His fingertips were sore by the time he made it to the ground. But after that, he was free. Grinning to himself, he walked down the darkened streets towards the sounds of people. The city had a different energy after the sun set. Lights blazed from lamps of 100 different colors. Vendors sold food and drink from temporary booths. Arthur stopped and watched in amazement as a man stood on a street corner and ate swords, burning with flame, in front of an admiring crowd. He wasn't sure if it was a weird talent or a card skill, but he was impressed either way. So was the crowd, judging by the amount of tips. He privately made a note to keep an eye out for a swallowing fire card. He walked on, keeping a sharp eye out for card dens, saloons, or even dice games. He wasn't sure how he'd talk his way into playing a hand of cards, because everyone around him was a grown adult. But maybe if he hung around long enough, he'd see an opportunity. His attention was drawn by a man who set up a simple table by a meat stick vendor. He was introducing a young couple to an odd cup game. The idea was that he slipped a card shard under one of the cups and mixed them around. If either the man or the woman could guess the cup it was under, they would win the shard. Of course, they had to pay to play. Arthur didn't need his card shuffling skill to know that this couldn't be as obvious as it seemed. Sure enough, the couple paid 3 times in a row and guessed the wrong cup every single time. There had to be a card-enhanced skill at play here. Was the game master hiding the card? Making it invisible, throwing an illusion over the table? No. Arthur wasn't certain how he knew, but it felt like there was a skill being used. As the game master shuffled the cups around, it was as if his heart throbbed in sympathy. Somehow, the game master convinced the couple to try again. This ended up in yet another wrong guess from the increasingly frustrated couple. Just when the man started to bluster and grow annoyed, the game master offered his money back from the last round. The man huffed, but it was clear his injured pride wouldn't allow him to accept. Thankfully, the woman tugged him away before he made a fuss. The game master tipped his hat sarcastically at their backs. Then he turned and looked directly at Arthur.
"This ain't a free show, kid. You either play or you get out of here."
Arthur was startled. He hadn't realized the man had noticed him.
"Cups aren't my game."
Arthur paused.
"Say, you know where they like to play dice around here?"
"Dice? What do you know about dice games? You look about 10 years old."
"I'm 12.
Arthur snapped. This was getting old. The man rolled his eyes.
"Sure, kid. Look, go through there, between that next alley and around the corner to the left. You'll find what you need. Now leave me alone. You'll drive away the marks."
Marks? Arthur wondered, but shrugged and did as he was told. He figured the man had either sent him through the alleyway on a shortcut or, at worst, a wild goose chase. It wasn't until he was partway down the dark alleyway that it occurred to him that someone who called customers Marks might send him into danger. He stopped and began to turn. That's when he registered the presence behind him. Arthur caught the man following him out of the corner of his eye. He gave an involuntary yell and jumped back. His hand fumbled under his shirt for the card. If someone used a card of their own, he'd be home in a snap. Though if they stabbed him or something, he would be screwed. He didn't manage to get the card free before his brain caught up with his eyes. The figure behind him was tall, but not as big as a full-grown man. Sure enough, a familiar voice grated out.
"If you're going to bother sneaking out of the orphanage, you should at least stay out of the slums."
It was Horatio. Straightening, Arthur lowered his hand from the bandage under his shirt. Hopefully, Horatio would think he'd been going for a belt knife instead.
"What are you doing here?"
he asked, though he already knew.
"You were following me?"
Far from looking guilty, Horatio rolled his eyes.
"I wanted to see if Perfect Arthur knew his way around the town like everything else."
"Perfect Arthur?" His eyebrows knit together, and he opened his mouth to reply. Horatio got there first.
"Instead, I find you walking through one of the most dangerous parts of the city. You ought to thank me for stopping you before you went too far."
"This place doesn't seem too bad."
It was dark inside the alleyway, but he still caught the sneer on Horatio's face.
"You really are a bumpkin, aren't you?"
"What's your problem?"
Arthur demanded. He was sick and tired of Horatio's attitude. The other boy clearly didn't like him and acted like he didn't want to be around him. But instead of snitching when Arthur snuck out, he'd followed him and risked punishment too. It made no sense.
"Why do you act like you're better than everyone else?"
"Not better. I just know my ass from a hole in the ground."
Horatio looked around.
"Why did you sneak out anyway?"
Arthur was not going to tell him that he was after gambling huts.
"I don't know. I was just looking around.
Horatio rolled his eyes. Arthur sort of felt like hitting the other boy, but he was about a foot taller than himself. It might raise questions if Horatio went down to the breakfast table tomorrow with a black eye, especially since, for some reason, Horatio was the teacher's favorite.
Why did you follow me? Arthur asked again.
To see if you had taste. You don't. But I suppose it's not your fault.
Horatio turned.
Come on, let's get out of here before we're mugged.
He went back the way they'd come in. After a moment's hesitation, Arthur followed. Once they hit the street, Horatio kept walking in a direction opposite from the orphanage. Arthur hurried to catch up, though he had to step twice to keep up with every one of Horatio's strides.
Where are we going?
Looking for some real fun, Horatio said, or whatever this dumb little hive town can provide.
For the first time, Arthur wondered if Horatio came from a noble family. He sure acted snooty enough. They walked down one street after another, all filled with nightlife. Arthur looked around with greedy eyes. They passed by bars so full that adults were spilling out, laughing drunkenly. Through the wide-open windows, he saw some playing poker. All those playing cards had a hard-edged look about them, though. There were no kids in there either. Not even his waitstaff. Arthur would have a tough time talking his way into one of those. More booths lined the streets, selling everything from clothing to food. One vendor yelled out that he had card shards for sale. Arthur would have stopped, but Horatio seemed determined to keep walking.
Is it always like this at night?
Arthur asked, half in awe. Horatio gave him a weird look.
They don't do harvest festivals where you're from.
Whoops. Though it explained the air of celebration in the streets. He hadn't walked far enough to see signs, though. Arthur shrugged.
Most seasons we didn't have a lot of reason to celebrate.
That was the truth.
What about you?
I didn't have much to do with farmers,
Horatio said. Mentally, Arthur ticked another box next to noble. Maybe Horatio had been the last son of a minor noble, like a baronet, someone who was in charge of a couple of small towns and thought he was king of the world. He'd heard Red talking about them once or twice. Only then did he realize the crowd was growing thicker as they went on. Horatio didn't slow down and instead wound around clumps of people. Arthur had to half jog to keep up with him. Looking over his shoulder, Horatio scowled.
Come on, I don't want to miss more than I have already.
Miss more of what?
What do you think?
Horatio asked, annoyed. Then his expression blanked.
Wait, you weren't playing before? You really don't know?
Arthur scowled.
What are you talking about?
Card duels.
What?
Arthur gasped. At that moment, a burst of multicolored sparks lit an area down the street. The crowd oohed at once. Others were hurrying down the street, too. All were heading to the same place. Horatio was a man on a mission and seemed to navigate the increasingly thick crowd. This many people was intimidating to Arthur. But the other boy didn't seem intimidated at all. Swallowing his ego, Arthur grabbed the tail of Horatio's shirt, like a little brother who hoped the elder wouldn't leave him behind. Horatio glanced over his shoulder again, smirked, but didn't say anything. Another corner, and then the street ended at a massive building at least four stories tall. A glittering spelled sign above announced it was the Wolf Arena, with pictures of wolves tipped back and howling at either end.
This isn't a proper fighting arena like you find at one of the big hives,
Horatio said, raising his voice to be heard over the crowd.
But you should see what a real card artist can do, not the trash the orphanage tries to get us to accept.
He hurried forward again before Arthur could reply. There were several oval entrances at the base of the arena, and people were streaming in. From inside, an echoingly loud voice called out. The walls muffled the words, but it sounded excited. An attendant held out his hand as they tried to pass by.
That will be one copper each.
Horatio looked to Arthur.
Go on, you make twice as much as I do.
I've only gotten paid for a week,
Arthur said. Horatio shrugged and looked at the attendant.
Price is the same for kids and adults.
Who cares if you're kids?
The attendant said.
You want me to flag down the authorities because you're breaking curfew?
Grumbling, Arthur reached into his pocket where he kept his precious copper coins. He paid, and the attendant ushered them forward. Instantly, Horatio was speedwalking again. They climbed staircase after staircase, and despite the number of people around them hurrying to get seats, they were able to find two easily. Arthur looked down on a vast oval space. Bench seats went all the way from the soft earthen floor of the arena all the way to the top.
"This is all for cards?" Arthur asked.
Horatio scoffed.
"No, this is a minor hive, so it's not like they have their own arena."
He must have seen that Arthur didn't understand, so he went on.
"It gets used for ceremonies, dragon groundwork training and stuff. Oh, here they come."
Three people walked out from an underground tunnel into the arena proper. One man and woman went to stand on either end of the oval. The woman, who was closest to where they sat, wore a sparkly black gown that was cut so low that Arthur couldn't help but stare a little. The man on the other end wore fancy clothing too, a vest and a top hat like he was a grand performer. The third person was a portly man who stood in the middle. He waved to the crowd and put a hand over his throat. When he spoke, his voice boomed out under a card's power.
"Ladies and gentlemen, betting for this next uncommon rank duel will close in 2 minutes. Shauna Shadow Sorceress versus the Magnificent Multiplier. Please get your final bets in quickly for this illusionist versus illusionist showdown."
Horatio groaned.
"What? You don't like illusionists?"
"If they're both camouflage illusionists, we'll be staring at an empty arena until one finds and stabs the other."
"They stab people?"
Arthur asked, horrified and a little intrigued.
"Sure. To first blood."
Arthur looked down at the woman.
"Why isn't she wearing armor or something?"
Then he caught the sly look on Horatio's face.
"You're messing with me."
"They get markers."
Horatio rolled his eyes.
"Blue on her side, red on his. See the colors?"
He pointed to the square of fabric hanging over each competitor's side.
"First to mark, the other wins. Why do I have to explain this? They really don't have duels in your city?"
"Where I'm from, people were lucky to have one card," Arthur said.
"Well, in proper cities, most people get starting cards from their parents or their master if they're apprenticed. They don't string kids along with shards in some kind of work scheme."
Did he have to complain about everything? Didn't he realize what kind of an opportunity they'd been given? "Olivia made a card," Arthur snapped. "You saw it."
"Maybe you want to be common fodder, but I don't,"
Horatio sneered.
"Anyway, most people who are worth a damn, even people in minor hives like this, have decks. There's some nobles and important dragon riders who have entire libraries of cards."
Arthur's father had said something similar, but he'd been so new to being carded he hadn't realized the implications.
"But doesn't it hurt to take them in and out of your heart? Why would you stuff them in a library?"
Horatio looked at him like he was insane.
"Do you just swallow anything you want to carry around? No. Then you don't stick things in your heart unless you want them to become a part of you."
He shook his head.
"This is why I hate this place. No one knows anything."
"But how—"
Arthur started.
"Ladies and gentlemen,"
the announcer boomed out,
"final betting is closed. Please take your seats. This duel is about to begin."
"Watch,"
Horatio said.
"You might learn something."